This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly supported by Tanara Music Practice Platform.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Season 3, 2019 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. This is episode 178. Can you believe how quickly this year has gone by? We're already at the end of November, pretty much, and almost 180 episodes into the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. I can't believe it. Time's just flying by. And this is a great opportunity to remind you to get your Piano Pivot Live tickets if you haven't already done so. And if there's one thing that is, I think, incredible about this conference, of course, the conference itself and the content and the people you're going to meet are amazing. But did you hear last week about our announcement about our Kawai giveaway? Kawai, we are so thankful for. They are our principal sponsors for Piano Pivot Live. We're really proud to be partnering with them for this. And they are giving away a brand new digital piano. Anyone with a ticket for Piano Pivot Live has the chance to win a almost $4,500 digital piano from Kawai. And it's going to be delivered to your studio if you're in Australia. How good is that? Unbelievable opportunity to upgrade your instrument in your studio for absolutely nothing except being at Piano Pivot Live. So make sure you grab your tickets. If you haven't already got one, pianopivotlive.com is where you need to go. And I want to tell you about another promo we've got running from now until mid-December, so about the 15th of December. We've got a Bring a Friend promotion. So if you buy one ticket, you can actually get a second ticket for half price, but that's only available now. If you haven't got a ticket already, until mid-December. This is a killer deal. So everything's already set up. All you need to do is go to pianopivotlive.com and buy two tickets and you'll see the discount available. So available until mid-December. If you haven't got your tickets, then the Bring a Friend promotion and the Kawai offer, that has to push you over the edge to grab your ticket today. PianoPivotLive.com. Can't wait to see you there. All right, so let's dive into today's episode. And we've got a couple of guests on today. And what we're doing is talking about summer camps in Australia, holiday programs, holiday workshops, one-day events in summer in Australia. Because as I mentioned at the end of last episode, I often focus much more on America because it's a natural cultural experience that kids go on summer camps and it's very, very popular over there. That's not such a thing in Australia. And I've always wondered how teachers go with conducting summer camps over here. So the answer is they're fantastic. They've been hugely successful for today's teacher and you're going to find out exactly how she's done it. My guest today is a graduate of the Elder Conservatorium of Music, University of Adelaide, holding a Bachelor of Music. Apart from being a gigging musician since graduating in 1991, she's been teaching piano in South Australia since 1994 in schools such as Prince Alfred College and her private studio, Saily Music, S-A-I-L-I Music. My guest has over 25 years professional experience in the teaching and performing industry, performing live and as a studio musician. A solo mother who's raising four children aged 11 to 17. How amazing is that? She has first-hand knowledge of juggling home practice with children in education and life. Welcome to the show, Sophie Ahuntoulis.
Hi. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you guys are over in Adelaide, right, in Australia? Yeah. Cool. And we're going to be talking about a very cool program that you've started running during holiday periods and things like that. Kind of like the summer camps, but we'll unpack exactly what they are and how they look in a moment. Before that, can you just introduce yourselves each and just tell us a little bit about the studios that you currently run?
Yep. So I'm Sophie Ahuntoulis and I have a studio, Saily Music, which I run on the weekends mainly and after school where I teach piano. It's a bricks and mortar studio. I'm fortunate enough to have that studio inside of the local private school where I volunteer. Nice. Yeah, well, I volunteer music classes there. So I think for all the volunteering that I do, they said, you know what, you can use our room as your studio, which is a fair deal, I
think. That's a great deal you've worked out, yeah.
Yes. It's 12 years of volunteering so far. I also teach during the day in local schools and another school as well. So I teach piano, private piano tuition inside the school, as we do here in Australia quite a bit.
That's right. Yeah, great. And Helen?
Yes, I'm Helen Favretto. I run my own art classes. It's called Artie Kids. I started it about 11 years ago, and it's gone from strength to strength, though, I'm very happy to say. So I run the classes after school at a couple of local schools and also at a studio on the weekend. So that's going really well. Thanks.
And am I picturing groups of children painting and building and sculpting and things like that, or is it quite specific, the medium you use?
No. I have a broad range of mediums. So I do from drawing, painting, acrylics, watercolours, right through to clay, 3D. We've just finished a great mask, steampunk mask project. So, yeah, everything.
Right. And are you guys friends anyway before you decided to work together on this?
However, it was Helen that came to me and said, look, this studio I do art classes in, we should do a holiday program there. And why don't we team up and do something? And we put our heads together. And I'm sorry if that was your next question.
But no, that's good.
Okay.
Great. Perfect segue, Sophie.
And we came up with the name Kids Jam Factor, and to do during school holidays, because the school's closed. I don't get to teach piano during the day, and Helen doesn't teach art classes after school during school holidays. So we thought, for the kids who don't go away on a holiday, let's offer something. Let's bump, you know, supplement our income as well. And we came up with Kids with a Z, Kids Jam Factor. And there's a story behind that too, how we came up with that name.
Oh, go on then, tell us the story quickly.
Really quickly. So kids, jam is, you know, music, jamming, playing. And in Adelaide, there's a place called the Jam Factory. And it's very well known. And it's
There is in Melbourne as well. I thought there has to be a connection.
Yeah. There you go. So we thought Kids Jam Factor. So we're kind of subliminal messaging.
Yeah, I know. I really like the name. I thought that was cool. So I wanted to get you guys on the podcast because we hear a lot as teachers, particularly in my blog and podcast, I speak to teachers in America where summer camps are so popular, and it's just a thing. It's culturally embedded that kids go on summer camps quite often, and therefore teachers can run them. When I heard that you had done this in Australia, I thought, aha, got to talk to you guys because it's not so common here. And I want to kind of put out the thought that there's actually nothing stopping us doing it as well. And we can find out exactly how you put it together in a moment. But does that, did you get any inspiration from what you saw overseas, or was it just a sort of taking an opportunity as you saw it here?
I think it was in discussion with Helen. I would say that there are so many forums on online and Facebook, etc., where I've joined piano teacher lounges and studio groups and things, and so many of them are filled with American ideas, which are wonderful, but don't really translate here. We don't traditionally have summer camp in Australia for kids. It's not a tradition. We don't send our kids off to camp. They stay home with parents. It's a lot of difficulty. But we do have a thing called OSH, which is out of school hours care. And that's basically the children go back to their school for like a daycare. That was another reason how we came up with the idea to go to OSH and offer our programs at the OSH. So, for example, there's a local primary school, they have an OSH, and the children go there every day or however many days their parents put them in. And we approached them and said, would you like us to come for 2 hours and do a music and art workshop, Kids Jam Factor? And the organisers, the carers, jumped at the idea because it's something for them to give to the children for a small cost, actually quite a minimal cost.
Yeah, yeah. So and this is on the holidays specifically, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So because I've sent my kids to holiday, sorry, Helen, I've sent my kids to holiday programs before, and so they'll go to the movies and they'll go to SeaWorld and all that kind of stuff. So you've said, hey, I'll actually bring something into you. You don't even have to go anywhere.
Yeah,
the kids' parents will pay too, right? They'll pay the extra $20 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Or more. Yeah. A bit lower.
Adelaide.
Yeah. Okay, right.
When I started discussions, we said, oh, look, we're offering between 12 and 15 a child, and they weren't that keen on the 15. So we started at 12, and Sophie and I said, look, let's start at 12 and see what happens. And one of the centres...
You ready for
we
this?
We were doing 79 children.
There you go. At once?
I'll do it. Give me 39 kids.
Oh, my God.
I'm not that.
No.
No.
The way we did it was great because there are two of us, we could split them. So I did half the group, the other half were with Sophie, and then we did a switch halfway through. So it was perfect.
Nice. I really like how clever you've been in using the networks you already have and the facilities already out there to get this started with, I guess, with less risk for you. There's kids already there. There's program directors who want activities. It really is a win-win if you can make the finances work. So I think you've been very, very clever in that.
Thank you.
What impacts did you hope it would have, both when you're looking at your own business and also the student outcomes?
For me, I'd like to link it back to Stanley Music, which is my piano studio, and hopefully get some enrolments. And I was allowed to give out just a little flyer to each student that participated in Kids Jam Factor. So it's free marketing, and I was asked for permission from the OSH organisers in the centres, and they said, of course. And that's what I was hoping for, to get more students online. Helen has a waiting list in her classes, so she's... Actually, I think Helen is just doing this for me, to be honest.
No.
How many referrals did you get? Do you know yet?
Yes, I received 5 inquiries out of all of those kids. So I know that paper media is not the most effective, but that's a whole other podcast, really. Mm.
But I mean, that conversion rate's actually not bad at all, I think, for kids that had no intention necessarily of taking up piano. I think you did a great job there. So I was going to ask sort of your goals for the numbers and things of the sessions, but it didn't work that way because I thought you might have been putting it out there and saying, hey, sign up, world, come to my summer camp. But you didn't do that. You did it much more cleverly. You invite general public or do a second session that anyone could go to, or was it only with after school hours OSH groups?
So there were a number of groups that we targeted. So it wasn't just the OSH.
It wasn't just OSH.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was the last session that we ran was with OSHs. What we're trying to do is actually test different markets. So we tested the OSH. We know that's successful. Mm. We're going to hook into that again. Some other things that we tested were art centres. So one of the art centres that we used wasn't that successful. We had low numbers. That was okay. We found out about that. And now we're at another art centre that I actually work on a Saturday. So I've got links there already. I've got networks that are established. So through that centre and through my after-school classes, I'm giving out all these flyers. Yeah, book me in, book me in. So I'm getting responses that way using the existing network. And we know that that one's going to be a success as well.
So we adjusted the business model for that. Yeah. That's a public centre. Anybody can go. The price is higher. It's open to the public. So we've kind of adjusted. It's a different, it's mini model for the local community centres and art centres.
And I imagine you could charge more for that because you've actually got to find the kids yourself too.
Yes, we do charge more for that.
Yeah, yeah. And how many, what was, I know you said one of them wasn't so successful. How many did you get in the different groups that you ran? It's always good talking about the good and bad things that happen.
Five.
The lowest was 5. We had a local art centre. We received 5 and we said, that's tested. We're not going to use that centre again. Yep. Not because we're not blacklisting it or anything like that, but we're just trying to, for it to be worth our time. We're both looks after a family. I am a solo parent of 4 children. So
my goodness. Yes. You're amazing. Wow.
She is.
And well, my husband, I'm widowed, so I've raised them right from the beginning by myself. Well, since the last one, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so we don't have time to keep going back and keep trying. So we're doing quick tests a quick test. So a kind of like once, we'll try once. If it works, we'll do it again. If it doesn't, we'll try something else.
Yeah, that's great. And that's what you've got to do in business is iterate and keep changing around. And then when you find something that works, then you go all in. Exactly. And it sounds like the OSH model could be one that you could expand to other places. I mean, it actually sounds like if you found two more of you, you could actually run these at the same time in two different places. Maybe I'm getting ahead of you.
That's exactly what we want next.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you've thought about that too?
Absolutely. Yes.
That's great. Yeah, a real scalable model. That's fantastic. So without giving away all your secrets, what do the kids do in, are they always 2-hour sessions?
Yes, we find that we did try, the first session we did was actually a full day. And being Australia, again, they're not really used to it. I don't know if it's an Australian thing or it just didn't feel like it worked perfectly. The kids were great. They enjoyed it. They had a good time. But then we had a chat after that and we said, let's shorten the session to half a day. And then we shortened it again to just 2 hours of the break. The last one, we didn't have a break. We just quickly swapped, which was 78 kids was mad, but it was great.
I'm super delighted that Tanara is supporting this season of the podcast and wanted to take a minute to tell you what they offer. Tanara creates an inspiring community for music teachers and students throughout each week. We know that apps don't teach quality music. Teachers do, and Tanara can make your teaching even more engaging. Help your students discover the difference effective practice can make. Tanara is available on mobile, tablet, and desktop. So head to tanara.com, that's TONARA.com, and sign up for a 30-day free trial, or head to your respective mobile store on your device and download the app. Let Tanara create happiness in your studio today. And so what do you actually do with these kids?
So the first one, shall I talk about the rock one? And then you can talk about, we discussed it and we came up with an idea and a theme. We worked together and incorporated it and cross-referenced it through the arts. So we did a rock guitar. I'm a piano teacher. I can't play the guitar, but I'm going to give it a go thinking about rock guitar. Why not? It'll be fun. So Helen took over the art part.
And I themed in, they made guitars. So I had pre-cut guitars. They were fantastic. And they painted and decorated them. And then we had this photo session afterwards where they showed off their guitars and did, new guitars.
That was a full day session, one. I taught them with a little bit of beat and rhythm. I used several resources off the internet, from the Music Classroom, which is Bushfire Press in Australia. And I also got in my late husband's brother, who is a guitarist, and he came and he played electric guitar for the children. They all had a go. I had some they loved it. And so I had two electric guitars and some acoustic guitars. Some kids brought the ukuleles. And it was kind of just a lot of fun, but experimenting and experiencing the real thing through the app. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool. And these were primary aged kids, so up till 12?
Up to 15, we promoted.
Oh, 15. Okay, great. And there's no piano in what you've said.
No, there's no piano at all.
Shock horror. Yeah. So was that mainly because it's so much easier to do things with guitars and ukulele size instruments than pianos?
Yes, look, I'd like to do the piano and I'm confident enough. I have the confidence to teach the piano in a group. In fact, that's what my Sailor Music does. We teach in a group. However,
I should say to people, your studio name is Sally, S-A-L-I Music. No. It sounds, no.
A sail as in the sail of a ship?
S-A-I-L-I Music, sorry. I just want to say that because it sounds like you're saying Sound of Music.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And people overseas might be going, what is this Sound of Music? So it's Sailor Music,
Sound of Music is trademarked.
Right.
So Sailor Music, it's my husband's name backwards. And there you go. And so the next camp we did and the next one we are going to do incorporates a bit more about the piano. So I have a floor keyboard. I have percussion instruments. We talk about piano a bit more. The idea of introducing them and doing this work as well is to introduce the students to me and music. I'm hoping that that will familiarise them through to try and have piano lessons.
So do you think the main reason for doing these was to build your studio, or was it to bring in more income generally?
For me, both.
Yeah, both, yeah.
And for me, I'm really happy with where I am in terms of students, but I am actually looking at expanding soon and bringing in contractors. It's about bringing in more new people to fill that spot. And also, it's really good as a teacher to test these different areas, because I think if you keep still and you keep doing the same thing, it's not, you don't grow. Yeah. So it's really exciting for us to find these and establish connections with the community. It's really important because people get to know you and they refer you, and that's how it all happens. That's right.
No, you can tell how passionate you are about it. It's obviously, I've been...
Get someone to help you out. Get to know great. You need to know. Yeah.
I've been talking obviously about the monetary impacts, but we know this is obviously a great experience for the students too and the children that are involved. So we almost hopefully don't even need to say that that's the reason why you're doing it, of course. Now, when you came, you said you had a bit of a theme going. Did you develop all this from scratch, or did you buy a resource online?
No, it's all from scratch. So we have a little brainstorm, and we say, okay, what's going to work? We get Sophie's kids involved. What do you think of this? Yeah. You know, would you have fun with this? We test all children. So. And then I start looking for images on the internet, and okay, what can I do with this? How can I work with this? And
so I take ideas. I take ideas offline. I found this amazing game called the dog feeder game, and so it's on the internet. Google it, the dog feeder game. And you know, I just adapted it and tweaked it and changed it and made it my own. And the children played it and loved it. And it's all about learning rhythms and timings and collaboration. So
nice. Do you think some of the kids that went to the first sessions will be coming along to the next one next holidays?
Yes, we know they are.
Yeah. Were you able to, I don't imagine you were able to collect any parent contacts or anything like that to sort of, oh, you were. Tell us how that worked.
Well, when upon enrollment, we collect the contact details and, you know, obviously I ask them, are you interested in you know, receiving emails? Yep. So I have a database with people's contact details and plug into that every time.
Yeah, that's great. Sorry, I was thinking about the after-school hours care groups. They wouldn't, would they?
No, but that it's already there for
us. But the numbers are there. So we don't,
Oh, that's true. You don't have to market it as such.
You don't have to market it.
Yeah.
As far as Kids Jam Factory is concerned, no. I think you meant, for example, me wanting to get the students to come to join my studio. It would be nice. I don't think that privacy, the school's privacy policy will...
No, that wouldn't work, But look, just being able to hand out the flyers, and you've been really proactive in that, I mean, that's great, because there's a market. They know now a little bit about you, so bang, get them into a lesson. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm really inspired by it. It's such, I mean, you guys have such a great energy about you, but it's, I can just imagine how much fun this would be for the kids.
Ladies, so we don't get together enough just for fun, but we're going camping, actual Australian style camping, which means
in the outback,
spiders, snakes.
Yeah, everything. She's scared of spiders. She goes camping and in Australia. And so we're looking forward, we go together with our families and our kids, and we love it. So we're looking forward to that complete getaway. That's going to be
fun. And so next, we've got a school holidays coming up in about 3 weeks. I imagine you're the same. What are you running this coming holidays?
So Helen went to all the trouble of making all the flyers. You can't see it, but that's okay. It's on our Kids Jam Factor Facebook page. And Helen has a connection at a place called Pepper Street Arts Centre. It's an arts hub, community arts hub.
Yeah, and that's where we're running the workshop. I suggested this to Sophie because, as I mentioned earlier, there's a network in place already there. They have a fantastic promotion. So they actually are part of local council, and local council sends out a newsletter with just on school holiday activities for children.
So free marketing.
So a lot of parents see it, and I get bookings normally through this, for my art classes, so I know it's going to work for us. That's
2 hours, and we're charging $35 Australian per child.
Great. And hoping for how many at that one?
Well, I'm hoping 20 plus.
Yep. Yeah, great.
More.
20 is a sweet number for Helen, because with art, it gets really heavy if you get more than 20, 25 students. It starts to get quite tricky with equipment and space. Music is different. Yeah. Have 50 of them, it would be so much fun.
Although non-musicians would get scared witless by the idea of having more than 20 kids playing instruments at once. I can just imagine paint pots and glitter, and I could just imagine it everywhere.
Flung everywhere.
So you've mentioned the network marketing you've been doing, which I think has been very clever. Is there any other marketing, paid advertising, anything like that you've been doing or are considering doing?
Not really. We've got the Facebook. We do a little bit of paid Facebook advertising, and Helen does the flyers, and I think that's about it. Because so far we've found that because of Helen's contacts, and especially the Osh, which is, I think the Osh is a whole different animal.
Yeah.
We don't really need to market too aggressively, because we don't really want the numbers to be higher than 20. And also, these coming holidays, we are only doing one workshop, we've decided, because we're going camping.
Right. That's it. No, you got to give yourself the time off too.
Yeah.
Nice. It's just such a great initiative that you guys have taken to do this, and I wish you all the best for it. I think it's going to be fantastic to see what happens in the future. What tips would you have for other piano teachers or teachers generally out there who might listen to this and go, oh, that sounds like something I could do?
If you're in the arts and you're a piano teacher, hopefully you have some friends who are also in the arts, you know, like-minded, and see if you can collaborate. Even with, maybe there's a classroom teacher where you teach, or maybe a parent or someone who is interested, maybe in drama or dance, or you could actually collaborate with anyone involved in the arts. And we found that we get along so well. Helen is actually so lovely, such a wonderful person, and she's very patient. She's a lovely, patient and generous person. And I'm the more flamboyant out there. And so we work
really? Together. No.
Well,
I wish you guys listening could see. These guys are hysterical. Love it.
But I have the confidence to command 50 plus children if I need to. And that's why that really works. And then when we received that huge Osh number, I said to Helen, don't worry, I'll bring my daughters.
She's like, oh,
so many kids. And I said, you know what? I'm grabbing my daughters and bringing them, because my daughters are young teenagers. So I, you know, get everyone involved, family, friends. My daughters came along and helped out and took photos and helped with the kids. And that's the advice, is to just network with the people that you know. You never know. You never know who you could work with, and collaborate and already.
Yeah, don't be afraid to make those connections. And I also like, just going back right back to the start of the interview where you were saying generally you volunteered so much in a primary school, or one of your schools, private school, I think you said it was, that they eventually gave you space where you could run your lessons. I mean,
it's been 13 years now. I've been volunteering music classes as a music teacher. They don't have the funding for a specialist music teacher. My children go to that school when they've graduated from that school now. And I was very passionate, and I still am, about children receiving a musical education. So I offered them free music classes, and of course the school said yes.
That's
12 years ago.
Yeah.
And when it was time for me to think about opening my private studio after hours, my children had grown up enough, I could manage things a little bit after school, I approached the school and said, can I put my 4 keyboards in here in the room where the piano is? And they said, sure, you've done so much for us. So it's a long-term investment, I think.
Yes, long-term strategy, but one to consider for teachers.
It is. Yeah. And for people out there who have a family wondering how they can manage it, it can be done. There is some, you do need to tweak it a little. Any single parents and single mothers, 4 children all by myself, it can be done. It just takes some juggling and firm priorities and draw firm lines about certain things, and you can do it.
I think you're amazing. I mean, We've got two, and there's two of us, and that's hard enough. So I think you're incredible, Sophie, to do that. I think all parents are amazing, but that's truly remarkable. How old are the kids now?
Well, now the youngest is 11 and the eldest is 17. So,
so they're starting to be a bit more self-sufficient and can look after each other.
Years ago, I thought I can probably do this now, this after-hours teaching. Before that, I definitely couldn't because they have the one parent they need after school. And so once that, it's only been, Sally Music has been running for 2 years. So 2 years is not a long time. Sometimes I turn to Helen and say, when am I going to get more enrollment? She says, oh, it will be.
I should.
It's very encouraging. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're doing everything right. So tell us where we can find out more about your studio firstly, Sophie.
I'm on Facebook again. Sailing Music, so sail with an I on the end. And I also have a website which is very, very tiny and basic, limping along at the moment. So I need to work on it. I can't quite afford a web developer to do the work for me just yet. And so I'm on Instagram, Sailing Music SA, because South Australia.
Right, cool. And the website for the summer camps that you're running or summer workshops?
We're Kids Jam Factor, Kids with a Z, Kids Jam Factor. We are on Facebook.
Great. And
it links through to Helen's website,
ArtyKids.net. ArtyKids.
Yes.
ArtyKids. Love it. Well, look, thanks guys so much for your time today. It's been really inspiring to hear your journey. And I think I've actually caught this right at the start. And I think if I was to interview in a couple of years, this would be a whole new thing. And I'd love to do that. It'd be amazing. So is there anything else you've been through this process? Anything I've missed asking or that you think is really important to say before we finish up?
I think you've covered everything. Thanks, Tim. I think you've covered absolutely everything. And
thank you for your interest. It's great.
Yes.
Not at all. No, it's great. I encourage people to go and check out what these guys are doing and then consider whether you could do it yourself. And I should say too, I didn't mean to exclude people in Northern America by this conversation. So I'm saying, because I know not everyone goes to summer camps. This could work just as effectively, I'm sure. Although the school system's a little bit different and I don't know how after school care works in America and Canada, for example. But I'm sure there's ways a similar process could work over there too. So, well, wherever you are in the world. Lovely. Thank you very much, Helen and Sophie. I'll let you get on with your day and really appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, how cool was that to listen to? Two amazing women doing fantastic things and just going out there entrepreneurially going, let's do something for the kids here and let's see how it works. And teaming up together, I think, so clever too. And the way that they started the whole enterprise, piggybacking on programs that were already being run in the schools. I thought it was just so clever. So I really hope that's inspired you to try this kind of idea in your own studio, regardless of where you are in the world. You may even be in America, where summer camps are obviously really popular, but perhaps this has given you some new ideas about the angle you can take and the way that you could set it up to minimize risk and maximize outcomes for you and your students and your studio. Well, just a final reminder before I sign off today about our Piano Pivot Live tickets. We've got the Bring a Friend for Half Price promotion running at the moment, and we are also really excited about the Kauai $4,500 digital piano being given away to any ticket holder of Piano Pivot Live. We've only got one to give away, sorry, not everyone is getting one. You get a car. I wish I could do the Oprah thing. Can't do that yet. But one person is going to go away with a brand new Kauai digital piano. It's going to be fantastic. So get your tickets at pianopivotlive.com and I will see you there. Now, next week on the podcast, we're talking about another performance topic that comes up from time to time. And we were originally going to talk about performance anxiety, but we also wanted to, because it's a kind of negative thing, we also want to talk about finding flow, which is kind of two sides of perhaps the same coin. And we'll unpack that next week with two guests, incredible performers, both in the classical and jazz genres, and I'm sure you'll know their names. I'm not going to tell it to you now, but I will introduce you to them next week. It's a great discussion, and I know you're going to enjoy it very much. I'm Tim Topham, and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next week.
Now, just before you go, if you enjoyed today's show, I'd love for you to check out my Inner Circle piano teaching community. It's the go-to resource for piano teachers looking to continue their professional development, connect with other teachers and experts from around the world, and to access hundreds of world-class training resources, including our academy courses, lesson plans, teaching videos, technology help, and much more. Whether you're just starting out or have been working hard to build your studio for a while, the Inner Circle community will give you the skills, support, and confidence you need to grow the studio of your dreams, whether that's about teaching a small number of students one-on-one in your home or hiring a commercial space, employing other teachers, and building an entire music teaching empire. With courses on both the teaching and business side of running your studio, live coaching, and our thriving community forums, you can get quick answers to questions, set yourself challenges, get feedback on your ideas, and feel confident teaching in new and exciting ways. For more information on how to join us inside the Inner Circle today, head over to timtopham.com/community, and we'll see you on the inside.
We'll conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.